The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, you know, I know when you get started here real quick, but I have a quick story for you, if that's okay.
Of course you do.
Just a quick story. I don't know if you remember this, but you know, my wife, and you've met my wife, prior to being a mom and all the super things she does, she was an actress.
I just recently learned that.
She was. She got a BFA from Ole Miss, and she graduated magna cum laude. You know, I graduated. Thank you, laude, Mike. I was not a great student, but she was. That's an old Bill Cosby joke. I probably shouldn't quote him. But anyway, she was in a Disney Park Hopper commercial. She was an extra in the movie At a Time with Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. So she had a little bit in that world. And then my oldest daughter, who you know, who's 18, and she's starting college very soon. And she's a BFA theater major as well. And
oh,
so when you talk about, John, how do you feel about actresses, women in the arts? Like, I live with two of them, and that's a big deal in my household. And so with that in mind, we have an actress here on the show. So Sheila Houlihan, are you there, Sheila? You there?
I am. Hello.
Well, thank you for being on here. It's such a big deal. And she's an award-winning actor and producer, and she also sings and she writes and does all these great cool stuff. And she's a guest today on the Crossman Conversation. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
So first off, can we talk about ambulance? Can we talk about that?
Absolutely can.
So I just watched that and I thought it was so good. And can you give us a little word about how that went as a movie and the filming, the set? How was that for you?
Oh yeah. Oh my God. No. Working with Michael Bay is a hoot. He's a lovely man. His process is different from anybody I've ever worked with before. I say this with all the love in my heart. I think if he could do every role and, you know, do every single crew position, he would. He's that precise and specific about what he wants, but it makes it fun to work with because he's got such a clear vision. And of course, it's a Michael Bay set, so I remember walking onto set and it's just gunshots and then cars on fire and just all the explosions you could ever possibly hope for or want, which was great fun.
It was super fun. And kind of a different kind of a plot, too. So it was very cool.
Definitely. Yes, it's based on a Dutch indie film.
Is it really?
Yes, and I haven't seen the original. I'd be curious to sort of do like a side-by-side and see how similar it is, or if Michael Bay, you know, kind of just did his own spin on it. It was like, great, ambulances, know what those are, let's have explosions.
Well, I got to tell you, I prefer the one with Sheila in it over the Dutch one. That's just my personal
golly.
Preference. I'm just going to say that right here.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, come on, how could that even compare? I've seen a lot of your work and you've done a lot of cool stuff and a lot of stuff where your mom and some of them, you've done some stuff like that. And then you've had some dumb, mm-hmm. like really complicated characters. You have when I've watched you, you have a great face. You can tell like there's a lot going on. No, you do. Like you can tell like your character's thinking and you can see it. You act in your eyes, in my opinion, when I watch your stuff.
Thank you. I try.
Well, yeah, you don't try. You do. You're doing it.
Yoder here.
That you got that reference. You're so cool. So tell me in the work you've done, is there anything that you highlight and you say, John, of all the stuff I've done, this was my favorite thing I did. That was so fun. Somebody's going to watch one thing and it was just your favorite thing you did.
Well, that is a hard, you know, as the years go by, John, that question gets harder and harder to answer because there's more projects that I just love doing. So I'm going to answer with a few. You know, and this is not a shameless self-plug, but truly the film that I starred in that I also produced, Night Mother, is one of my personal recent favorites. Mm-hmm. I worked on that with a longtime friend, Ellen McLean. You would know her as the voice of GLaDOS in Portal. She is quite famous for her work in that. So she's been a friend of mine for 10 years. She originally hired me for an opera job, of all things.
Wow.
And just a quick story about Ellen. This is like my favorite story of her. I used to be an opera singer. She came to like a little small show of mine, like a little black box type thing in a bar. And I didn't realize that it was Ellen McLean of Portal. I just knew that she had hired me recently. Mm-hmm. So she comes up to me and gets really, really close. Like her mouth is on my ear and says the line about cake. But it was so out of context that I was just like, there's just this older woman like on my face talking to me about cake. I don't know how to respond. Like, what does one do in a polite society when this happens? And then, of course, she was like, come on, it's from Portal. And I'm like, wow, okay, sorry, without context. That was really alarming. But then it kicked off a great friendship. So in 2020, when her and I and every other actor on the planet were just completely out of work for very legitimate reasons, I wrote to her and was like, hey, would you want to just kick around a play just for good measure? Let's just work on our, let's work on our chops, right? Let's not get too rusty here.
Gotcha.
So she brought up Marsha Norman's Pulitzer Prize winning play, Night Mother. Wow, that's a mouthful to say. And Night Mother is a show about suicide. And I will be totally upfront and honest. I'm trying to do that more to help sort of destigmatize mental health in general. But I am a suicide attempt survivor. Wow. And Night Mother, the play, was there for me at a really rough time in my life. So as soon as she said, let's work on Night Mother, I was like, no, 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 no. We're not going to just casually kick around the Night Mother can. We're going to do Night Mother. And then it ended up on me taking her on a totally wild and weird tech ride. It turned into producing a full-length feature film in partnership with Twitch. And it's become an international mental health movement. We won a Webby Award. We have some other exciting things I can't quite talk about yet in the can for the film. We actually went to Cannes. Funny that that lined up like that. So it's become its own thing. And, you know, getting to work on a character who is literally about to commit suicide when I have been on that journey myself, I had to put on her clothes and we rehearsed every, let's see, we rehearsed for 14 months and the 2 months leading up to actually doing the film, we rehearsed every day for a minimum of 3 hours, but most often around five.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a really cathartic experience in a way. It was like exercising my own demons of my past to be like, I'm just going to do this until I'm terribly bored with the subject, frankly. But yeah, I mean, you know, not trying to self-plug here at all. It really just was a powerful experience to go on a journey like that. And not normal in filmmaking, for sure. You know, normally you show up, you shoot the thing, you probably never rehearsed, hi, bye to your co-stars, farewell, and then you see it and you're like, wow, I don't remember doing any of that. I'm glad that it turned out all right.
Well, so let me, let's unpack that a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure, so, let's unpack it.
So I've been fortunate, people are kind. I've had different times of people, you ask me to mentor them and, you know, business and things like that. And there was a young guy about 10 years younger than me and was having some different things in his life and asked for my help, and I was helping him out. And I'm telling you, Sheila, this guy, most talented young man I've ever worked with, he was actually a pastor at a church, but he would go to like Comic-Con and he would interview Jim Carrey and Tom Arnold, this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, he was as funny as them, like that kind of like quick, talent. And so then he went through this rough patch and he had lost his job. Mm-hmm. And then he was having some marital issues. And my nephew's a recruiter. And so he got him a job. And so that Monday morning, I'll never forget, I got an email from my nephew, Ken. And he said, Uncle John, he goes, I'm not say his name, but he didn't show up for work today. And we found his body in downtown Orlando the next day.
And oh my God.
Sheila, I have never cried as hard as I cried over that. It was just, and who I became friends with was his counselor, because his counselor and I both, it caught us so off guard. When I read your bio, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's like 18 threads of successful things in there, and yet you must have been really clearly really suffering. So can you talk about that journey?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I think it's important that we talk about these journeys, because the more we talk about it, the more we make it safe for others to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, I think that is critical. I mean, you look at some of the suicides that have made the news this year. I think about like the former Miss America.
Yes.
And how, you know, so many people, the reaction that I read over and over again in the news was like, wow, so surprised. You know, she was Miss America. She was so beautiful, so successful. And what always strikes me is like, you know, those external achievements or external validating factors never help our internal world. We as a society really glorify that kind of stuff, but that doesn't change what's going on the inside of us, which is, I think, the most important thing to remember, you know, when you're dealing with somebody who might be in crisis. So for me, my journey, I actually, we're going to tell this sort of out of order. I was born without serotonin. I recently, you know, a couple years ago was finally put on an SSRI, and that changed my life to the point where I remember the first day I took it, you know, my psychiatrist was like, look, this thing takes weeks to kick in. Like, don't get too excited. I took it. For the first time in my life, I felt peace and calm. So I had a panic attack because I was like, I don't know what this is, and I'm probably dying. Because, you know, high drama over here. But in actuality, what it was is for my entire life, I didn't have any attachment to this place. And I was deeply sad. I was suicidal and depressive as a toddler, as a little kid. But of course, as a child, you don't have a way to express that because it's so beyond you. I mean, you're barely learning how to express things like, I want to ride bike when you're like four. How do you express to your parents these giant, deep, unyielding thoughts? And as I got older, just the way we are in society, right? Like the way we shape our children through the school system, it sort of got mixed in with other stuff. Like perhaps that's not what I'm feeling. Perhaps I have an eating disorder. Perhaps it's that, oh, I want to be like these other girls around me and I'm not. And maybe that's why I'm so upset. So it's sort of like permutated and transformed into different things. But as I got older, it really got worse and worse. Because, of course, I became more and more conscious to the fact that no matter what I did, I felt bad. And inevitably, you know, monthly, if not more frequently, I would have this spiral of just, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, a lot of family did not understand. Like, my parents eventually did and have been a fantastic support. But a lot of friends and family didn't. And when I would try to talk to them about these large feelings, listening is huge. You know, it's not something that it's easy to shake off like that. And especially with me, where it was a genetic sort of disorder of sorts, not having any serotonin, which for everybody listening who may not be familiar with serotonin, serotonin is a neurotransmitter. So it's a chemical in your brain that occurs naturally, and it produces feelings of joy, happiness, peace, calm. So I went, ooh, God, several years without feeling those emotions at all.
Wow.
Sheila,
thought that something.
Can we take a quick break? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to get the
rambling.
I don't want the bad feel. I don't want the good feelings to stop, you know, but I have to take a quick break. So let's take a real quick break and we'll be right back with Sheila.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit MeeksCapital.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
The Crossman Conversation thanks Four River Smokehouse for helping to sponsor our program. From its inception, Four River Smokehouse has not only served delicious food in warm family settings, but they've been key leaders in creating positive social and financial impact in our Central Florida communities, such as their Four Rivers Farm, a healthy, thriving, sustainable food system. For a Four River Smokehouse near you, visit 4rsmokehouse.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back with Sheila Houlihan, and we're talking with her. She's a award-winning actor and producer, and we were just talking about her journey and talking about how to help people who are suffering and maybe in a hard and potentially suicidal place. And, you know, it's funny, Sheila, when you were talking, what really hit me was, the shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept. And that gets ignored a lot. In the context of it, like, Jesus is being informed that his best friend died. And I think a lot of people might think, oh, well, then Jesus did a backflip and said, oh, they're in heaven, they're fine. But he wept. And so why would he weep? And I think to your point, what he was doing was coaching how to help. And so you were saying, people,
ooh, I love that,
right? Like, so people might minimize or people might try to fix, but what you're saying is if somebody is around you and they're feeling really deep sadness, it's just sitting with them and allowing them to feel the sadness. And then that way they tend to feel better. Did I get that right? Is that what you were saying?
Precisely. Like just being there, you know, just holding space or holding communion with that person, I think is one of the most powerful things we can do. I think it is scary for people. Very often I've met folks where I feel that, you know, the sort of thing that I sense from them is that if they were to go still and really put all their attention on another, there is a fear that they would disappear. And I'm like, no, you're not. Exactly. If you're going to bring up Jesus as that example, it's just let that person tell. How many often stories do you read in the Bible where, you know, Jesus really let someone else share their story first before intervening.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just say, oh God, I see what your problem is. Boop, dink, okay, bye, off to the next town. You know, that would be a really different kind of story and arguably not one that has captivated so many people for thousands of years. It's the fact that he sits down and listens to each person and lets them tell their story, lets them tell him what they're going through and really like feels it in an empathetic way before he intervenes. And I think that's the key here with mental health as well.
And it sounds like too, when I think here about your story, you have this combination of seeing medical help and seeing, therapy or friends and family help. And if somebody's in a deep, dark space, they need to know you probably need both, and that's okay. That's good. We have those resources.
Yes. You know, what I would say is think of therapy like dating, don't date your therapist, boundary for a reason, but you know, if you try therapy and it's just like a horrifically bad match with the therapist, that doesn't mean all therapists are bad.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that was a really bad match with that person. I think I cycled through about 10 till I finally found one that worked. And then, of course, there's so many different kinds of therapy. There's CBT, which stands for something that I don't remember off the top of my head. There's DBT, which is dialectical behavioral therapy. That's what I did. And it is the concept of holding two opposing thoughts in your head simultaneously without exploding. A skill of how do you hold two things at once that are both true, but that are completely diametrically opposed. I think that that's something we all could use right now in terms of fostering more empathy for everybody in this country and beyond.
That's powerful.
Then there's medications. There's so many different things to try that I think, you know, the best thing we can do as support systems for people in crisis is just to listen, be there with them in that spirit of communion. And then when they're out of the storm, when they're maybe sort of in the calm after the storm, you know, hold their hand, help them look at these different options and be like, look, I'll be with you. I will go with you. I will be at your side. You are not alone. And let's find something together.
That's awesome.
I also want to highlight, I worked with the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention for my film, and they told me about something that's coming out next month. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's called the 988. And 988 is an emergency hotline, just like 911, but you use it if you're in crisis. So instead of a police officer coming to your home, you have a licensed mental health counselor coming to sit with you, you know, someone who's trained
right.
to help you come down safely and not attempt suicide. So I am telling everybody about 988 right now. It's going to save so many lives.
So powerful.
And keep people out of our institution system of what we do. Because I've, full disclosure, I've been through that. I was involuntarily committed after feeling suicidal for 5 days. And, you know, it's not an experience I'd wish on anyone. So having an alternative is a huge deal.
Sheila, thank you so much for sharing that wisdom. And thank you for sharing your humanity and your humility. That is so powerful and helping people hear this. Be able to find their space to tell their own story. I two last things I want to ask you real quick.
Sure.
First one, if you, you yourself, Sheila, you're going to mm-hmm. express your humanity and your deepest part of your feelings, what form would you do that in? Singing? Would you do that in writing? Mm-hmm. Would you do it in acting? I mean, you kind of did it, you know, with this thing you did with your own journey, but I just want to, in your own voice, if I said, I want you to do this powerful thing, what would be the platform you would most want to express that?
See, it's interesting you say that, because to me, they're all the same thing, which is storytelling.
Mm.
And if you think back, you know, storytelling is the oldest form of creativity that has existed in, you know, the lifespan of humankind on this earth. I think storytelling is what elevates us. Storytelling is what helps us transcend from animal to human. And to me, storytelling is a way of bridging life experiences from one human to another through empathy. So I see myself as a storyteller. I see myself as someone who is deeply invested in telling stories, maybe stories that other folks don't feel brave enough to tell, or maybe make them uncomfortable, because I know that if we go to those hard places, again, going back to the Bible, into the shadow of the valley of death, that is where we are going to help people heal the most.
Well,
it is facing those fears courageously and telling stories so that people can experience, empathize in a safe way, that I think promotes the most healing.
It's like the Good Samaritan. You know, that's
yeah.
a parable, and people remember it. He could have just said, "Hey, be nice to each other." We wouldn't remember that one, but we can remember the Good Samaritan, right?
Right.
All right. So here's my other question I want to ask you. All right, now, really, when do you think about this one, okay? All right,
okay.
I'm casting you today, and you're the star of this new hot sitcom, and I need you to pick the three actors that are going to be in the sitcom with you. You pick any ones you want. Who would be the three actors you put in there with you that you'd be like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. All right, interesting question, because not everybody can do sitcom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a very specific style. I were going to cast anybody in my sitcom. Okay, I'm going to cast Allison Janney because I just adore her. I'm not sure if you've seen Mom, but she's just a talent and powerhouse. And so
she's awesome.
Fun.
Yes, good choice.
Wow, okay. Other actors that I'm going to cast in this sitcom. It's interesting because it's like, you know, do we want to lean into people who can do sitcoms? Do we want to throw somebody in there who is just, that's not their forte? I will say one of my favorite people I've ever worked with is Denzel Washington. He's mm-hmm. just a lovely, lovely soul. He doesn't do sitcoms, so I'd kind of love to see him in that world and see what happens. Like, can you imagine?
Cast him as the wacky neighbor, right? Like, he comes
right,
over
exactly.
for a cup of coffee and says...
wild dreamer type role where you're... He's like, why am I... I'm like, no, you're trapped in my universe now, Denzel. Welcome. And then for my third, who is... You know what? Let's really... I'm going to say, who would you cast as the third person in this totally wacky sitcom? Job?
You're going to make me. All right.
I'm going to make you.
All right. So I'm just going to go Living Dead. I'd say Robin Williams, the safe pick. Genius.
Oh,
right there.
Well, I didn't realize we could go into the, into those who have already passed. That changes the game.
It does. Well, see, I'm actually going to go ahead and create the movie poster for this with you and Allison.
Wow.
And I'm going to create this. I'm going to pitch
That's
this.
Hysterical.
I'll have to come. I guess I could have said Pete. I could have said Pete Davidson.
Is
probably if I'd have to go to the living, I'd say Pete Davidson.
Oh my God! Which what a funny guy. Yeah.
Right, and knows about mental health. So then offset, you guys would have something to talk about. So that'd be great.
You know who else would be funny is Timothy Chalamet. Like he
oh, geez. He's very funny.
Goofy.
Yeah.
He's a goofy dude, but he never gets to play goofy roles. And I'm like, let's see you in a silly universe. Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for being on the Crossman Conversation. And thank for your humanity and what you're doing. And I'm telling you, like, you know, I'm going to do all I can to help share your story because I know it's like you're giving life to people. You're really doing real stuff. And we're just grateful for all you're doing in your career. And hey, if you're in it, I'm watching it. I'm giving it 5 stars. I'm just, it doesn't matter.
Wow, thank you. It's so sweet. Just doing what I can, right?
Well,
that's all we can do.
Well, you're telling your truth, and we need more of that. And that vulnerability and that humanity is just so powerful. So thank you.
I think we got to leave this earth better than how we found it, right? That's our goal here. That's why we're here today.
I was just saying that earlier today, that I can just do all I can. So anyway, thank you so much for being on the Crossman Conversation. To all our friends, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.